This is a Dreamcast disc and is for use only on a Dreamcast unit. Playing this disc on a hi-fi or other audio equipment can cause serious damage to its speakers.
Dreamcast, up to 6 billion players.
Welcome back to the Stage of History.
Why don't we play together?
Hey, it's time to make some crazy money. Are you ready? Here we go!
Please stop this disc now.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 28th episode of the Dreamcast Junkyard Dream Pod. My name is Tom, and I'm joined by not one, not two, but three people from across the globe who are experts when it comes to the Sega Dreamcast. I'm joined by Caleb, all the way from upstate New York. Caleb, how's it going?
Hello, Tom. I'm doing fine.
Excellent. You've got the perfect voice for podcasting. I've said that many a time. It's good to hear from you again. It's been a while. I mean, we did the last one together. And we've got two co-hosts. Joining me from just up the road, actually, in a lovely place called Bristol. His name is Mike Phelan. Mike, how are you?
Hello, Tom. Not too bad at all.
How's it going?
Not bad.
And then joining us from all the way on the other side of the globe is Mr. Ross O'Reilly. Ross.
Hello. Good morning, guys.
Yeah, it's
7:54 now for me, so I'm slowly waking up.
Yeah. Good night on the whiskey then last night, or
as good as any, I suppose. as any night sat on your todd drinking a bottle of whiskey or coke can be
on your own with a bottle of whiskey. Jesus, that is the it's just like the stereotypical view of like a Dreamcast owner is someone sat in a destroyed flat with like a bottle of whiskey and like just CD-ROMs on. Waiting for the Dreamcast 2, yeah. Well, anyway, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the DreamPod. And we've got quite a lot of stuff to talk about, actually, this episode, because we've been away for a couple of weeks. And in the intervening gulf of time, there's been quite a lot happening on the old Dreamcast front. But, you know, as we always do, we'll speak about what we've played and what we've bought. And I'm going to start with you, Caleb. I know we spoke last time on the podcast, but what have you been doing in the intervening time?
I've been messing around with the frame grid a little bit, seeing how the translation works. Been doing a little bit of trying to get my one arcade stick cleaned up. And then with other games, I have been playing the Stardew Valley, which, holy crap, that game. It's just that perfect mix of, I just need to do this next, and then I'll do this, and then I'll do this. And it's just, yeah, boy, that really just scratches an itch I never knew I had.
What is that? Sorry, what Stardew Valley? What's that?
It's somewhat like Harvest Moon and stuff. The graphics look, it's a 2D style game, so it kind of looks like the older Harvest Moon games a little bit. And it looks like that one game, Terraria. Its graphics kind of look exactly like that.
What's that? What format are we talking about?
This is on PC. Okay. It's actually like legit sold like almost a 500,000 copies, and it's like this sleeper hit. It literally just came out like a week ago, and like it came out of freaking nowhere. Just one dude made it, and like he made this, like, it looks like a small game, but man, there's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah,
and it's just stupid fun. I'm in a period of my life right now where it's like just holy crap, I really needed to play something simple and somewhat calming like that, so it's amazing.
What about Dreamcast wise anything?
Just the frame grid stuff and messing around with fighting games, trying to get my controller fixed. That's pretty much all I've been playing recently.
Excellent. Okay. What about you, Mike?
I think I'm kind of a bit of a broken record whenever I appear on here because I've been playing mostly Fallout 4 again.
Oh, get off. Get off.
It's become a bit of an addiction. I got one. Fallout 4 and I did pick up Far Cry Primal on modern consoles, which is...
So what are you on? Are you on PS4 or Xbox One?
Both.
But, wow.
I see. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you see. You've got to, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. You've got to, you know, have the whole spread.
Yeah. Now the Xbox One. I mean, that thing as a paperweight, it's, you know, it's amazing. I mean, it's just it holds down papers and they don't go anywhere, no matter how stiff the breeze.
I'll have nothing said bad against the Xbox One. Forza 6 and Forza Horizon 2 are great games. Everything else is just pretty much subpar. But anyway, those two are great. So yeah, so it's mainly Fallout 4 and Far Cry Primal, which is an interesting game, I got to say. But Dreamcast-wise, the only game I've played in Dreamcast recently has been Crazy Taxi. I've had a bit of a Crazy Taxi addiction in the last for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, one of those underrated games on the Dreamcast no one's ever heard about, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yourself, Ross, what about you?
Yeah, I've been playing a bit of Zero Gunner 2 on the old arcade cabinet. Trying to get that 1cc, but seems like the same with all Psycho games. I can get to the second from last level or last level on one credit, and then it just all goes to shit, and I can't come close to doing it 1cc at all. So, but maybe someday.
Anything else on the Dreamcast? Or
on the Dreamcast? Well, actually, also, it was my birthday recently, so my girlfriend...
Oh, happy birthday.
She's 30 years old. Oh, dear. But, yeah, my girlfriend, the great girlfriend that she has, bought me a projector, so on that I've been playing a bit with Sega and with Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing Transformed.
So you've got the projector on the wall then?
Yeah, and our Japanese apartment really doesn't have enough room for it, so we're trying to figure out how to organise stuff. But yeah, it's great, and it's been fun reliving Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing.
So have you been drawing the curtains and like getting the full like?
Yeah, I've only been playing it really in the evening, so that's not been a problem. But yeah, I have been drawing curtains and like regular games like action adventures stuff. I wouldn't bother so much, but for I don't know. I think it's really worth playing something like a racing game where you can feel the speed.
Excellent, cool. Do you play like any current gen stuff? I mean, do you own a PS4 and Xbox One?
I own a PS4 and Xbox One and a Wii U. And I hate them all pretty much equally.
Isn't that weird? For some reason, I actually have more respect for Ross because he owns all three rather than Mike, who only owns two. But I don't know. It's where does the disdain come from?
I think they're all. I think they're all awful. I really dislike this gen. I can't say much good about it. And for the first time ever since I started gaming when I was like 6 years old, this is the first gen where my platform of choice is the PC.
I've actually had a Wii U as well. Wii U, PS4, and Xbox One. I had launch days in all three of them. But I actually sold my Wii U this week because I hadn't played it in a year and a half.
Gearing up for that NX, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that reminds me, actually, talking of Xbox One, there is one game I've been playing recently, Raiden 5, the new Raiden game that just got released. A bit of an odd one. It's one of the only Japanese exclusive Xbox One games, which may not be the best business choice by the developers, but it's a competent shooter. Not amazing. I wouldn't tell anyone to like rush out right now and buy it, but it's pretty good.
Excellent. Okay, cool. I'll briefly enlighten you as to what I've been doing. Not a massive amount on the Dreamcast. I've been playing on a game called Toothcracker, which is the new one from Ben Lancaster. Don't know if you saw that on the site. It's one of the new Game & Watch style games. It's an indie game, obviously. He came up to me at the video game market, which we'll talk about later on, and said, here you go, here's the new version of the James & Watch series. And I played on a bit on that. I've put an article up on the Dreamcast Junkyard about it. It's quite fun, you know, very basic. But I'm always in awe of people who make their own games because I just haven't got a clue on how to do it. Yeah. So, you know, I have a lot of respect for people who do that. The only other game I've been playing on the Dreamcast is a game called... I'm going to murder the title here now because I don't actually know how you pronounce it, but it's called Noise 2SA or Noise 2SA. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
This is top-down. It's a top-down indie shoot-em-up where all the graphics are like... kind of weird vector graphics. It came out in about 2009 or something. I'd never heard of it before, and I got wind of it through the Facebook group, and so I downloaded it onto my SD card reader and played it through Dream Shell, and it's a really, really cool top-down shoot-em-up, and it kind of reminds me a little bit of like Rez.
Mm.
It's fantastic. It's spelled Noiz2SA, so if you want to have a look at it, please... feel free to
is when you say a shmup, what type of shmup is it? Like a rips, like a horizontal vertical, or like an arena shmup, like a Geometry Wars or something? Or
sorry, I've not given the best description. The camera is like kind of like you're looking down on it, and it's like vertical up the screen, so it's a vertical shmup. And you're kind of flying over these like stylized cities where the buildings are all made of like vectors.
Okay, and the shooting is just in one direction. You can't change.
No, you can't change. It's not like a two shot. Okay. No, no. You basically hold down the shoot button, and you've got like bullets basically come out of the front of your little like geometry style shape, and you've got things that come down the screen from the top, and then you just kind of move side to side. But it's really smooth, really fast, absolutely amazing music, stunning music, and just really, really cool. And it's one of them games that's kind of slipped me by, you know, it's passed me by under the radar totally. Never heard of it up until about 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, that's one very worth checking out. It's a Noise 2SA, I believe it's how you pronounce it.
I'll definitely be giving that a go on my GDROM later. My GDMU.
I'll put the link in the article below the podcast on the Dreamcast Junkyard site so you can go and find that. I also celebrated a birthday last week on Friday. So, birthday buddies, high five.
Hey, wait, so your birthday is March?
It's the 4th. March the 4th.
Wow, yeah. Okay. 2 days. And how old are you?
I'm now 34 years young.
Yeah. 34?
Yeah.
Oh, you look a bit younger than that, to be fair. I thought you were the same age as me, maybe even younger.
Yeah, a lot of people say I look about 21, so... I'm going to say that as a compliment. Elsewhere, I've been playing on the Vita. I started a new job last week, so I've been playing on the Vita on the commute, on the train, and I've just been getting myself really into Rainbow Moon, which is that RPG I spoke to you about, Caleb, on the last podcast, the one with the weird Amiga graphics.
Yes.
I've been really getting into that. It's fantastic. I love it. And other than that, Drive Club on the PS4, because it's just amazing. Anyway, let's move on to our first topic. And again, this is one that only I can really talk about because it's only me that went to it. But the video game market.
Hey, Tom, why don't you have a brief discussion about the event? And why don't you talk about the stuff you picked up there?
Yeah.
That might be interesting.
That's a good suggestion.
For one, would be very interested in learning about the T-shirts and all the other materials and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, the T-shirt. I definitely want to talk about that T-shirt.
I'll dive straight in then. Okay, the video game market was held in Doncaster last weekend. And if you don't know where Doncaster is, that's a place in Yorkshire, which is up north.
Wait, there's a town and a pudding?
Doncaster pudding? What?
Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, Yorkshire pudding. Oh, I see. Right, okay. Yeah.
Which isn't really a pudding at all.
There's so many things wrong with that sentence. I don't know where to start.
Yeah. America, everybody! America! Hands up while you listen to the podcast. It's America right here, boys. Come on. I know there's 10 of you listening.
So, yeah, this thing was held in Doncaster in Yorkshire, and it was a massive event held by Retro Collect, and there were thousands of people. I was there representing the Dreamcast Junkyard. I had the Ultimate Collector's Guide on sale. We didn't sell that many. I'm not going to say how many we did sell, but it was quite a small amount, a modest amount, you know. But I think a lot of people were there for the games rather than the literature. That's what I'm going to tell myself anyway. but I did have a bit of a wander around, and I met some cool people. I met Lewis from Sega Driven. His site is in the Sega Network, so he's a really, really nice guy. I met some guys from Sonic the Comic Online, which is the continuation of the original Sonic the Comic. You know, it's been given the go-ahead by the guys who wrote the original version of the physical comic.
I used to love that as a kid.
I read that
from cover to cover within 30-40 minutes every time, like straight through.
Yeah, same. One of the guys who was on that dog sold me a Lego Dreamcast that he made himself. His name is Steve, so thanks, Steve, for that. I spotted it. I was just like, that is fantastic, you know. And he got it out of the little bag, and he showed me that the GD-ROM cover lifted open. There was a little lens inside, and then on the side there was a vent, and on the bottom there was a little yellow sticker, you know, but made in Lego bricks. I was just like, mate, that is fantastic. The detail is stunning. I'm having that. So I got that. I got the T-shirt with the Dreamcast light gun, which has some Japanese text above it. And
what does that say on it? Can you pass it here? Let me have a quick look.
There you go. Tom. I'm going to pass it over to you now. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's nice image and graph. What's this? Monochrome Insatsuyo for black and white printing. Tom, you bought a bloody T-shirt that says for black and white printing on it.
Yes, thank you.
What are you doing?
It's actually, I think you're misreading that. He was told it was the Japanese word for eternity.
What's that? No, don't get this tattooed on your arm or something. Tom. No, don't.
That would be the best.
For black and white printing only. Yeah, so, I mean, it shows the light gun in different profiles, but above it, according to Ross, it says, for black and white printing only, which is a quite interesting slogan.
I'd love to know the story behind that. How
do you reckon it was just taken as a photocopy or something?
Yeah, it must have just been a photocopy of the actual designs that had written on them for black and white printing. And the guy just photocopied the whole lot and slapped it on the t-shirt.
That's bizarre. Because the store I got it from, they told me that it was from the official Sega website. and that they'd stopped selling it a while ago.
Yeah, we know why.
Sega do not have a good reputation for communication between Japan and Europe and America, so yeah. Who knows?
Perfect, like, example of that, you know. Other than that, I spoke to a guy called Matt, who runs a website called Sega Mags, which specializes in specifically in old magazines, but specifically Sega magazines. And I got a couple of Dreamcast mags from him. I got the official Dreamcast magazine issue 1 of the American one. I got Dreamcast Monthly. I got the final issue of Dreamcast magazine, the Paragon Publishing one, and a couple of other little bits and pieces. I got a complete set of Total Control magazine, which, for those people not in the UK who don't know, Total Control was a very short-lived magazine that existed between 1998 and 1999, and only 11 issues actually came out. But because of the time that it existed, it was very heavy on the Dreamcast, like news and previews. And the very last issue was the one that came out in September 99. So it was just at the Dreamcast launch in this country. So it was full of Dreamcast stuff. So, it's very relevant to this, you know, to this podcast and his website. So I'll be doing some scans and things. And there is actually quite a lot of stuff in there that I've never seen before. Even though I used to buy the magazine, it kind of must have passed me by at the time. A lot of previews of things I've never seen or little news snippets that are, you know, worth looking at. So I'll be putting them up on the site at some point in the near future. But yeah, it was a great event. I got to see a lot of, like, you know, friends and people from the industry or the community, even, who are, you know, really respected. So it was really cool. Yeah. I take it you guys saw the pictures then on the blog, or
yeah, I saw the pictures, and I heard from a couple of people that the, I don't know about merchandise, but the games, the price of games was ridiculously inflated.
Yeah, it was a bit hit and miss. There was a lot of people who were selling games, like, who had come with like an eBay kind of mentality, but there was, you know, obviously the regulars at these kind of events who had stuff for really decent prices. And not only that, but I got to meet Duncan Guthridge, who did the airbrush art for Sonic 2 and a lot of Mega Drive games. Met him. He was really cool. Went to sign a Sonic 2 art print. And also Will Overton, who did all the artwork for N64 and Super Play magazine. And he's also involved in the ukulele, you know, the new game from the guys who did Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah,
so he was really cool.
Kickstarter or Indiegogo, that one?
I think
Kickstarter,
so.
I believe.
Yeah, Kickstarter, yeah. Yeah, he was really cool. We our stalls kind of backed onto each other, so we spent most of the day just like kind of chatting, and it was good just to speak to somebody who had that much like knowledge of the industry. It was cool. So yeah, good event all round, I must say, and a really successful third annual market for Retro Collect. So well done to those guys. Anyway, let's move on to our first proper subject of discussion. Ross, I believe this is one that you want to talk about. It's the Sega Hard Girls figures.
There's not really much to say, really. I don't think I wanted to talk about that.
Yes, you did. I can read the email here, actually. You said,
sorry, let's start. Sorry. Let me start again. Yes, Tom, the Sega Hard Girls figures are a new line. A new line tied in with the Sega Hard Girls series. God, it's so convoluted and complicated, this whole franchise, the Sega Hard Girls franchise. It would take me a podcast in itself to explain it all, but basically what you need to know is there's a group of anime girls, each based on their style and dress and personality is based on a classic Sega console from the past. And yeah, they have an anime series, they have a PS Vita game, lots of merchandise, and they've just released, well, not just released, in the last couple of months, they've released a set of figures as well. And so far, the the premium set of figures, which is actually the cheaper line. The more expensive ones aren't called the premium. The cheaper ones are called the premium. But anyway, they've released two of those so far, the Dreamcast and the Saturn version, and just lovely little figures. I mean, how can I explain it? It's about 7 inches tall, cute anime girl dressed. She's standing on it at Dreamcast, and she has the same orange dress, or very similar orange dress to Ulala. She's wearing a Dreamcast controller on her head. Stupid woman. Stupid woman, that's not what you do with it.
I've got to admit here with you, Ross, I've never seen the anime. It's never really appealed to me. I've seen the images on, like, social media, but it's not something that... Is it in English?
No, it's in Japanese, but I've got the Japanese Blu-rays, but you can just go onto Google and type in. Actually, it's better if you just Google Sega Hard Girls, and you'll see the full name of the anime. It's something like Seha Girls High School !Star or something like that. If you type that into Google with video or stream or something, I'm not condoning illegal streaming, but I've been told you can watch them online with subtitles.
Can I ask you something? I'd like to clear something up here. You say it's pronounced Seha.
No. The anime series is Seha, and that's short for Sega. It's the Se from Sega and the Ha from Hard Girls. The anime is called Seha High School or something. I've forgotten the... Yeah, the franchise is just called Sega Hard Girls.
Okay, well, that's cleared that one up for me then.
I it's done nothing but provide more questions for me. Why does the Genesis have like a big book and stuff? Is the Genesis like a nerd in the series? Oh, this is just too confusing.
Yeah, I think she is a nerd, but I mean, I don't know how that ties in, like why that's a characteristic. Been chosen as a characteristic of the Genesis and Mega Drive. I can't tell you.
Considering how the Sega Genesis was promoted in my youth, that certainly would not be the case for North America.
Is there a 32X girl with like a massive forehead?
But they're...
and like massive teeth and glasses. Like...
I'm thinking more like the Mad Max Thunderdome, like Master Blaster character. That would be cool.
But funny enough, in the game, there is which one was it? Sega Pluto. There was a Sega Pluto character in the game, which is the unreleased Mega Drive.
Yeah. Doesn't she like make like one like combo appearance or something like?
In the game, she makes a brief appearance, and she's like all tweaked out, like some ex drug addict, like all tweaky and not making coherent conversations. And when she leaves, the character you play as makes a comment. Well, I see why this world, i.e., Sega, went to crap. If she was one of the gods of this world. So it's quite amusing. Like, Sega are a bit tongue-in-cheek, like, laughing at themselves in the current situation that they're in history. So it's kind of like Sega Gaga in that way, in that respect.
Well, it's something that it intrigues me. I've not watched a single episode yet.
They're only, like, 20 minutes per episode, so you know, just Google it and just watch one, see what you think.
I was going to say, I've been spending all my time on YouTube watching episodes of Sonic Boom. So maybe I should switch tack.
What?
Yes. I do quite like Sonic Boom.
Mm.
Just me? Just me? Just me then? Let's change the subject. Right, guys, next thing we're going to talk about is these VMU demos and games created by a guy on Instagram. He's got the best name ever. It's Guacasaurus Mex. I thought the name was probably the best.
Solid. This.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, you won't forget that in a hurry. I take it you guys saw this. This was an article I put up on the Junkyard main site last week. And basically, the story is that... I'll go back to the beginning. My mate, Adam, who runs Retro Collect, showed me this thing on his phone on Instagram of this dude who was making new VMU games. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And I've actually forgotten that I had an Instagram account. So I went onto Instagram and then found him and looked at his images and discovered that he was making games for the VMU. And he's taking, not liberties, but he's taking new licenses, like stuff like Star Wars, the Force Awakens, and Deadpool, and even creating his own kind of franchises as well, and just basically knuckling down and creating new stuff for the VMU, which I think is fantastic. And his plan is to, once he's got to about 25, put them all onto a CD-ROM and release them so that you can download them onto your VMU via your Dreamcast using DreamShell. Yeah, I just wanted to A, get your thoughts on this, and B, what your memories are of using the VMU as a gaming system in its own right, really. What do you think about these new games? A lot of them are concepts, not actual games, bear that in mind, but he does have plans to turn them into games. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Manic Monkeys isn't a fully fleshed game.
Oh, yeah, some of them are, yes. Manic Monkeys is, but like things like Deadpool and The Force Awakens are like mini games, just like sort of kind of like Tamagotchi style battle games.
Are they mostly just QTE style games? Respect a guy, and I definitely want to try them out. But I remember back in the day, in 2000, I got online with the Dreamcast, and I must have downloaded 15 different VMU games, and every single one of them, bar Tetris, was a QTE title, and that seems to be all there was. I haven't looked too much. I don't know what he's doing, but are they QTE games or are they something?
I'll go one further than that, Ross. Every single VMU game I've played is shit. Yeah. Right, but
right, Tetris was good.
Yeah, that was the one that wasn't a QTE game.
And that VMU game that you got from Powerstone, where you had to like move a little.
Some of the games included with Dreamcast software were. Well, they were okay.
I did anybody remember Pinata Quest from the Skies of Arcadia?
No, I didn't play that.
I've still not put Skies of Arcadia into my Dreamcast, so I've not played that one yet. But yeah, apparently he's going to make a scrolling beat 'em up for the VMU. So
well, fair play to him.
I don't know if you saw the Magic 8-Ball. That's genius, by the way. Yeah, we basically it's an animated Magic 8-Ball. You just press like the select button or whatever it is, and it kind of brings up your next prediction. You know, you shake a Magic 8-Ball, and it comes up with a little answer.
It can answer any question. It's that high tech. It can answer any question.
Any question, and whatever it says, you have to do it.
Wow. Fantastic.
So the power of the potato CPU is just unbounded with this new software. But yeah, just wanted to go to your like memories of like playing VMU games on this subject. Mine are the fact that I used to put batteries in my VMUs, and within about half a day they'd be dead. Yeah. I did it recently, actually. I got some batteries recently, and I put them in just to see, you know, what I could do with it. And I took it into work, and I was showing it to everybody. Like, oh, everyone was like, oh, what's this? Like, I was like, it's a VMU, you know, look at it, it's great. And like, everyone was like, this is amazing. I've never
seen this.
Was this
at your new job?
No, it's okay, my last good. Job. Hey,
Tom, I'm going to give you some unrequested advice here. You know, maybe you want to wait a couple months before you start doing that in your new job. You know, just saying.
Duly noted. This is at my old job, though, so it's fine.
Did you go in when you introduced yourself? Mention, yeah, I'm Tom from a Dreamcast junkyard.
From the new job.
The VMU goes off. Excuse me, I have to pause the interview for a second. I go feed my chow, and then I'll be right back.
Oh God! If only that would be like. To me, that'd be like so cool to do, but that was it. This was in my last job, and by about 10:30, the battery was dead. So everyone was like, "Oh, have you seen Tom's like little thing? Go and have a look." And I'd be like, "Oh, let's have a look." And this is not like a euphemism, by the way. It was like, "Can I have a look at your thing?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's on my desk, but like it was dead." And I was like, "Yeah, the batteries are already run out." And like, okay. Bye. Just walked away. Like all the new like contacts I could have made, like even like senior managers were being told about this thing and they were coming over to look at it, and then they'd get there and it would be like the battery was dead, and I was like, sorry, this is it, but it doesn't do anything because the battery's dead, so sorry. Yeah, who would have thought that the VMU would be a good networking tool? I want to hear about your history with the VMU though, guys.
My history is really short. I've never played a game on a VMU.
Excellent. Cool. Next. Okay, Caleb.
My first thing was the little chibi guys when you're playing Soul Calibur and you have the VMU and you look on the screen, this little chibi version of the Soul Calibur guys. That was like super cool, even though it served pretty much no purpose. And then the awesome Resident Evil effects on the VMU were great, where you could see, you know, different stuff going on.
Not really games, though, that you could take away from the VMU.
No. Display. Yeah, the only ones I did was the Tetris one, which we've already said was cool, and then the Pinata Quest, which is actually something you could play to like get items and stuff for the actual game, Skies of Arcadia.
Oh, I have played one actually. Thinking about it, that's how much memory it's made on my in my life. Sega GT, little okay. Sort of driving RPG sort of.
Was thing. That a top down thing?
Yeah, it didn't make much sense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can remember that as well. Yeah. The main thing with the VMU is that back in the day, the batteries ran out that quickly that people just didn't bother playing the games.
This is really a serious thing for me about VMU batteries, because when I got my Dreamcast on launch, the very first, I got the VMU brand new, of course, and the very first battery that came with it lasted ages. I leveled up my Chow every day on the train to school as a kid, and I got it to 999 in every stat, just every day, leveling it up. But then as soon as that gone, that battery went, and I replaced them with just batteries from the shops. It wouldn't last more than a few hours, and I've got no idea why.
Huh. Well, that sounds like a little bit of a conspiracy.
No. It's not a conspiracy.
You're right. They probably just put like a really good battery in there, so people would support the thing. You know, so
we don't need an interjection here from you know who. We're not going to mention his name. Cool. Okay, that's interesting. It's nice to hear your different thoughts on the VMU games. I will maintain that most of them are shit, but. These new ones look quite interesting, so we'll see what happens with those. Slave from Goat Store, yeah. Guys, just want to take a little bit of a straw poll. Who's pre-ordered it?
Yeah, I have.
I have. Yeah,
Mike. I pre-ordered one of the 88 limited edition ones.
Of course you did.
Oh, wow,
Mike.
Cool.
Of course I did.
I was literally on the Goat Store. I ended up not pre-ordering it.
Okay, you still can if you want to. But
yeah.
Yeah, that's to you listening as well. You still can go to Goat Store. Just type it into Google. But if you are a pre-orderer,
just be very careful.
Yes.
Just be very careful when you're typing that phrase in.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Very careful. Keep spell check on. If you are a pre-orderer of Goat Store's Slave, then you will have had a message in the last week explaining to you that, that things are going well. If you've not, however, and you're interested, then here is the gist of the email. It was an email from a guy called Dan Lucen, who is one of the administrators of the Goat Store. And it's basically saying that even though, you know, a lot of people pre-ordered it like a long time ago and it was due to come out last year, they had a lot of issues, and now they've kind of isolated the bugs in the code, and that the game is pretty much not 100% ready to come out, but it's nearing completion. And I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, it's this and Elysian Shadows for me are like the most interesting games that I'm looking forward to. Mike, what about yourself?
Yes, as soon as they released the trailer last year, it was amazing. It just looks really, really different, I suppose. It's first person shooter, but sort of not, and it's sort of just looks like a real good Dreamcast exclusive.
I love how, you know how like today, like you get these like retro themed games that kind of look too, like they look they're not retro because they look too modern. Yeah. It's kind of like that, you know, but on the Dreamcast, I'm just like, I want to see what it looks like on a you know, through a VGA connection. Do you know what I mean? How good can it get, you know, modern 2015/16 game development on the Dreamcast? What could it have done? I mean, look at like most of the games I play on the PS4 and the Vita are like retro styled games. Like today I was playing Broforce. So I mean, and that is a pixel art kind of, you know, shoot 'em up. And I just want to see what a 3D pixel art style game on the Dreamcast looks like.
Yeah.
We're so close now. I'm really looking forward to it. What about you, Ross? What's your thoughts on Slave?
I'd echo what you said. I'm really looking forward to it. It's unique. It's not another. And I love shmups. So one of my favorite genres, but we've had too many of them, and most of the indie shmups that have been released on Dreamcast are not good in my opinion and overpriced. This game does look some like that's completely unique, not just on the Dreamcast, but on any form of, well, on PC, I'm sure there's some indie game that's similar somewhere, but yeah, so nice, unique concept. The music sounds good. The world they've created sounds good. The whole development delay did leave a bit of a sour taste in my mouth because I don't understand
how.
The thing is, I think they should just say nothing and release it when it's ready. But when you start saying this is going to be out next month or in 2 months, and then it gets delayed for almost another year, it's like, well, how does that happen? Yeah. How does a game go from being 1 month away to a year? And then there's all the fuss about, oh, has anyone got a developer cable for us? We need it to finish it. And it's like, if you didn't have this cable that you need to release the game or port the game or whatever, how could you have only been a month away from development, from releasing it?
I think that was because somebody left who had one and then they needed to get another one because they got another developer in. The main thing that I take away from this whole project is that now that we've got an indie first-person shoot-em-up, what else can come? This opens the door for like more projects in this mold. Because, as you say, Ross, all we've actually seen really is 2D kind of like puzzle games, racing games, shmups. We want something... The community is begging for like a 3D game.
Yep.
I mean, something that makes use of the Dreamcast hardware. It's a powerful system even now. As far as retro systems go, it is so powerful.
It would be amazing. It would be amazing if somebody released something like the Strafe game. That's the PC kind of like new age Quake type game that still kind of looks like the old Quake. Something like that would be really great.
Yeah, yeah. I know we've got things like Hypertension coming in the future. Yeah, it looks amazing. We did an interview with the developer a few months ago, and she is like the person who now is taking over like the slave. Like development, so you know they're kind of interlinked. But it's nice to see that indie development on the Dreamcast is going away from just like the traditional 2D shop, and it's going into different genres. You know, and who knows? In a couple of years, you know, we could have been saying this in 2009. It's now 2016. The system refuses to die. The tools that all these indie developers have got are just getting better and better and better. You know, how long is it going to be before we get like you know a rally game? A driving game, you know what I mean? It's amazing. And not only that, but with like Elysian Shadows releasing their development kit, we could get even more like, you know, adventure games coming out. You know, it's going to be just fantastic. It's such a bright, a vibrant scene, you know, at the moment. It's fantastic.
Looking at the upcoming releases, I think there's only one shmup actually scheduled for release.
Is that Ghostblade 2? Which one's
Redux 2, yeah. There's loads of games coming out, and just looking at the list of them, it's like there's only one shmup, which a couple of years ago you wouldn't have thought would be on the horizon. We've got, you know, 5-6 different genres of games, which is just, I think it says quite a lot about how popular the Dreamcast indie scene is.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for a driving game to come out or a light gun game or something. Do you know what I mean?
I think there's a game on the... on the iPhone, maybe on the Android as well, called Horizon Chase. I'm not sure if anyone's played it.
Oh, it's
one of my favourite games last year, and I think that's the kind of game they could probably. Well, I'm not a developer, so I'm saying it. So I'm saying they could do it. Obviously, could be talking about absolutely rubbish, but it's the kind of game which would do so well on the Dreamcast.
It's weird, actually. I reviewed it for Retro Collect, and when I reviewed it, and they retweeted it, I said to him, "So, what about a Dreamcast version?" And they just sent me a picture back, you know, of a winking eye and a sticking out tongue.
Because I think it's,
that was like, what does that
Brazilian.
Mean?
Is it a Brazilian team? I know they're being on Dreamcast, so you never know.
Oh, mate, don't even talk about stuff like that. It's going to make me go into like fits of like.
Yeah, there's loads of games like that, loads of like modern indie games, which would do so well on Dreamcast. Like things like, I want Things Please to come out on Dreamcast. I love that game so much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Volgar the Viking came out of nowhere, where they just had like a full version on the Dreamcast.
That is the best
crazy
indie game we've had so far, in my opinion. Volgar the Viking, by far, fantastic game.
Also the hardest.
Definitely not an easy game.
So difficult.
Well, it's just a matter of playing it over and over and over, same level over and over and over and over again until you've memorized everything that comes. And if you stick at it long enough, you will get through. Yeah, I mean, it's not so much about reactions, it's just about memorizing everything that's in the level.
Yeah, it reminds me of Ghouls and Ghosts. Yeah, constantly happens to like
It's amazing as well, because we've mentioned loads of indie games. We haven't even mentioned Alice Dreams Tournament. I know it's not the subject we're talking about, but that's, you know, that game looks amazing as well.
Yeah, April.
Yeah, that is one game I know I got on the ground for, because it was actually very reasonably priced with the Kickstarter donation. First tier there, man. And that's one of those games that's been around for like a long time. So like the Bomberman game, the simple version, was around back in 2008 or something like that.
Yeah, I got an email the other day, like from Kickstarter, because I've backed a couple of different projects, and so I just clicked onto it like mindlessly and logged into my account. And it was like, oh, you need to update your address for this one that you've bought, and I was like, oh, cool. So and it was Alice Dreams Tournament, so it must be coming imminently.
June is the release date.
Excellent. Well, I'll keep an eye on that, because I'm going to be moving in the next couple of weeks. So
that is going to be an amazing game for tournaments, I think, because everybody already kind of knows the whole Bomberman strategy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to throw like a similar game that's got like new gameplay elements.
I'll be trying out with some mates around my house for sure. Is it a max players 4?
Yeah,
I think so.
Well, it must be.
Yep.
Stupid question.
Yeah. Right, guys, let's move on to our next subject. This is quite interesting, actually. This one was actually sent to me by a listener of the podcast, and quite a decent guy who's been supporting me in the battle against Sega Europe with the Dreamcast Ultimate Guide. His name is Sean Robinson. He goes by Sean. I believe it's NZ17 because he's American. I was going to say NZ17, but I don't think that would sound quite right, because American pronunciation of our letters is always wrong, Caleb.
Why don't we take a look at the gross national product of our two countries and see who's pronouncing things correctly and incorrectly after we consider that.
We'll do that after we finish recording. Yes, we'll do that.
It's not my fault. I come from a country where everybody sounds like a goddamn bumpkin.
You've never been to Dorset, then? Or Somerset. Sorry, Mike.
I'm Gloucestershire. Different side. We're the posh side.
Right, okay. But yeah, so Sean, thank you for this email. He sent me an email saying that ScumVM, which is the emulator for like various PC games like Broken Sword and Full Throttle, basically like any kind of like 2D point-and-click game, it's now at version 1.8 for the Dreamcast and supports the following games: Amazon Gardens of Eden, Beavis and Butthead in Virtual Stupidity, Broken Sword 2.5, Labyrinth of Time, Rex Nebula and the Cosmic Gender Bender, not one I've played myself, Sphinx, The Lost Files of Sherlock Holmes, that's The Case of the Rose Tattoo and The Case of the Serrated Scalpel, Zork, The Grand Inquisitor and Zork Nemesis, The Forbidden Lands.
So just a clip, that's in addition to the previous games.
Yep. Yes, that's right, yeah. I knew about ScumVM. I've not personally used it, but I know a man who has, and his name is Caleb. Now, Caleb, this news was news to you, I believe?
I had completely fallen off the ScumVM. I had originally used it to actually play the original 1994 disc from Monkey Island on my Dreamcast, which you can do. And I also used it for Goblins and the awesome Sam and Max Hit the Road.
Oh, that's a great game.
These games are great. The controller, they also did like a standalone version, which I believe you can still find with a little bit of Googling, of Beneath the Steel Sky.
I love that game.
Oh my god, that's a great game.
It's like Blade Runner and Coronation Street.
The ScumVM version for the Dreamcast is amazing with that one. Yeah, and they work really well, honestly. I actually hooked up my mouse and keyboard just so I could have like a little better experience with Monkey Island. But for example, like the Beneath the Steel Sky actually works great with the controller, and you don't really need to have the. And that's a completely free game because it's abandonware.
So Caleb, just to give people a little bit of background knowledge, so you can burn this emulator to a disc, you can put it into your Dreamcast, and then you can actually swap the disc out and put the PC disc into the Dreamcast.
Yeah, the original 1994 PC CD. For these games, any game that's supported, you can just put it in there and it'll boot right up. Either that, or it's very easy just to rip the game files and put them on the CD, so you have like a self-booting one. Where it's like only one disc. I know Loom was Abandonware for a while, and that was on an Abandonware website. And even an idiot like me was able to create a disk with ScumVM and just create a self-booting Loom game.
I liked your description there, Ross, which was that Beneath a Steel Sky is like Blade Runner cross with Coronation Street.
Yeah, I love that game. It's just, we don't get many games like that anymore with like distinctive British humor, charm, accents. Like every character in that game has a really, I don't know, comical British accent. It was hilarious to play.
The only game that I could actually compare that to is one that I mentioned in the last episode of the podcast, which is a game called Silver, which has a lot of like Northern English accents, which I found quite surprising when I first played it. And so that's the only one I can kind of liken Beneath a Steel Sky to, even though they're completely different, same genre, but different kind of time period settings. But yeah, it's interesting that they've updated it and now you can play different games, because there are a lot of these games coming to PS4 and Vita in the near future. I think Day of the Tentacle is coming soon to the PS4. So now that you know that you can play these old games on your Dreamcast just as well.
Yeah. Also, too, in case anybody forgot, they're on the DC Evolution site, which actually came back into existence in August 2015, when I thought that amazing site had been gone forever. They're kind of operating off of SourceForge now, and their website relaunched. And back in December, they actually released two CD images for two fan-made games. One's called Indiana Jones and the Call of Thunder, and the other one is called Open Quest.
Cool. Are they like point-and-click type things?
Yep. Yeah, they are basically the same kind of point-and-click ones, which led me up. I'll just tell a quick story about this. I was super jazzed about this because Open Quest, it said that it was actually converted from AGS to the Dreamcast. Now, that's a big deal because AGS is a venture game studio. It's actually really easy to program an adventure game. And, you know, it was the same version that was, Yahtzee from Zero Punctuation. He created his games, including the amazing 5 Days a Stranger. He actually used AGS to make that. And so it's a very simple studio software to use. And I was super jazzed because I was like, oh my God. So this might mean that I can use AGS to make a game and then port it to ScumVM, which I'll be able to just easily create a self-booting disk and just have it run on the Dreamcast. However, with a little bit more investigation, that's probably not going to happen. The software that apparently was used to transfer it from AGS to a version that ScumVM could use, it's no longer in the original spot. It's supposed to be on the web. And basically, you know, the ScumVM people don't really want to like support stuff like that because it's kind of like a legally gray area. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, you're supposed to have the original disc and whatnot to be able to play these games. That's the whole point of it, is so people could play their original games on these multiple systems.
To be fair, a lot of these games you actually can still buy on Steam commercially. So
yes, and that's the other reason why they're a little bit hesitant to specifically kind of like go after creating games specifically for ScumVM. So yeah, ScumVM basically is just something to help translate existing games that you can legally purchase. It's not really for creating new games. So I kind of hit a brick wall there. There are some like, you know, programming stuff like AGI is one of the studios. It's AGI Studio, where you can actually make kind of a game from scratch, but it's so much more difficult to do that than use Adventure Game Studio. So yeah, I did a whole big Facebook post on the Dreamcast fan site on the Facebook. So, but basically, so my dreams of creating a really cool adventure game in Adventure Game Studio and having it released on the Dreamcast have been squashed. But I guess I will just simply have to wait till Falco releases the Elysian Shadows thing. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Was it Dream Studio 2, or is it just Dream Studio, Japanese exclusive like RPG maker?
Oh yeah, the one with the weird like Lego figures on the front.
I've never played it myself. If you've got the patience to spend a few years learning Japanese, then you could make a game that way.
There you go, Caleb. There's your option.
Oh yeah, all I have to do is Lord Khan. Yeah, that's great.
The thing that this raises for me is just again, I've said this before in other episodes, just how versatile the Dreamcast hardware is and still is now, because we've got things like ScumVM running these amazing 2D adventure games. We've got, you know, indie developers like making whole new games. We've got all the different emulation discs and ROMs and things running. Sega really didn't know what they had with the Dreamcast, did they?
Well, I mean, it's really more about third-party publishers taking advantage of it.
But I mean, they could have. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's like this system lives on now, and we're talking about it on this podcast, and they kind of killed it. But then it's just like,
well, Dreamcast 2 is coming.
What? Dreamcast 2?
I'm sorry, I wasn't aware there was any official involvement with
Sega.
I guess some multi-millionaire is going to buy the license for that, I guess.
On the subject of Dreamcast 2, I saw a tweet today where somebody had tweeted out an image of you know, them ones of the Dreamcast 2 with the like the red, the pad with the red underneath.
Yeah.
But also as well as that, there's kind of like little, you know, what goes inside a Neo Geo Gold, the little like handheld thing, one of them, but with like a Dreamcast swirl on it. So it's like it's also going to have one of them now as well.
It's going to be great.
Did it also have a picture of the Coleco Chameleon next to it?
The funny thing is, the Coleco Chameleon is as much of a joke as it was. It came far closer to becoming a reality than the Dreamcast 2 ever will.
No, I think you mean the first retro VGS.
Or the VGS.
The VGS. The VGS, if they would have kept certain people on, it might have actually worked. But no, I think the Chameleon was basically just never anything except for a Super Nintendo in a Jaguar case. And then it was also a video capture card in a clear plastic shell.
Well, the retro That's all VGS that was. Just that was nothing. Jaguar shell, wasn't it?
Yeah, but there was actually people behind it that could have created something had, you know. Things have gone much, much better, but yeah.
Yes, a couple of people who were let go from that project earlier on, who could have maybe done something.
Before we leave the Scum VM discussion, I want to say if anybody wants to try it out, I would say go get yourself a copy of I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. That is an amazing game, which with using Scum VM, you can get working on your Sega Dreamcast, and that's a great game.
I was going to say, is that a game or a state of mind?
It is a trip.
All right, guys, let's move on. Is there anything else anyone else wants to like touch on or?
No, I think that pretty much does it all. It's like, you know, oh no.
Did someone say the word conspiracy?
No.
Oh no. Let me tell you something about MK Ultra and the mind controlled slaves.
Jesse, get out.
They're going to be coming out in 2016 is the year where a series of random words and numbers, and you want to know what those random words and numbers are?
Yes.
Caleb.
They're TurboGrafx-16.
Caleb,
guess what Kanye West's new album is going to be titled? TurboGrafx-16. It's not a conspiracy.
Caleb!
Illuminati!
Get out!
Is he gone? Is he gone?
I'm sorry, I blocked the door.
Is he gone?
We gotta stop saying the word conspiracy. He hears it. He thinks he can just come in here anytime he wants.
I was actually quite interested to hear his thoughts on the VMU conspiracy.
No, shut up, Ross. He's not going back in.
No.
Don't let him back in, Caleb.
No, I got the door shut. It's eerily silent.
Is he taking a dump in your kitchen now?
I don't know.
Might want to have a look at that in a bit. Anyway, let's draw this one to a close. It's been a good episode. Interesting and entertaining, from my point of view anyway.
That sounded like the final thought at the end of a 90s cartoon there, Tom.
Like, you know, ended with, like, Jerry Springer. Like, you know, you see, like, do Jerry's
final thoughts.
Caleb, go on. Final thoughts.
At the end of the day, we're all just living together on this big, wide earth. And we need to appreciate the things that we have. And I believe that a lot of us can appreciate what the Dreamcast could do, even though it wasn't completely utilized back in 1999. We can still appreciate it now, in 2016. And looking towards the future, I believe there will be always a place in my cabinet for the Sega Dreamcast. Just as we should keep the fellow mankind a place in all of our hearts.
Wow.
I'm gonna edit that together with like the crowd and the final thought music.
Try to edit out my slurring because I've been fucking drinking all this time.
I can't even tell, to be honest. Right, okay. So that is that's episode 28 of the Dream Pod. Thank you very much for listening. We've got a few little bit of housekeeping things that we want to talk about. First one is that we would be very happy if you visited the Twitter page. That's we've changed it. It's at DC Junkyard or the DC Junkyard now. Also, the Facebook group and page, that's facebook.com/DreamcastJunkyard.
Yeah, and you can certainly get updates on the amazing, completely unofficial Sega. It's unofficial. The unofficial guide for the Dreamcast.
Yes, you can, yeah. The main site is the DreamcastJunkyard.co.uk. You can also follow individual members of the Junkyard on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. Caleb, you are on YouTube at...
Blandco. Blandco. I am doing a lot of miniatures things, so if you want to talk about little plastic men, then you can go there. Though they're miniatures, they're not PVC statues, which they have a use in several games and whatnot. So
yes, they're not plastic PVC men. The miniatures. So keep that in mind. Mike, you're on Twitter at
space_turnip.
Turnip, and Ross, you're not on Twitter, but you're on Facebook.
No, you can follow me in real life. You know.
Yeah, literally around the streets of Japan. Or it's a big country.
Yeah, sure.
Just look for the only white man. Just follow him. It might not be Ross, but you never know. It could be. you can follow me on Twitter at Tom Lee C. Yeah, thanks very much for listening to this episode of the Dream Pod. If you like what you hear, go on iTunes and give us a review. We've been on 24 reviews now for ages on the UK one. I know we've got a few on the US one as well, but it just helps us get people seeing what we do. So if you like it, then please go give us a review.
Are you be careful what you wish for? Do you really want one of my reviews?
Please carry on. One star is fine. Two stars better. Five star would be amazing, but Ross, if you think it's worth one star,
I was joking.
Please,
I'll give it five stars.
I wasn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't. Anyway, thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Dream Pod. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye. Everybody, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Please stop this disc now. 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 Now.